First of all, thank you for everyone who participated in that piece last Sunday, who stayed afterwards and shared a little bit. Thank you. I realize there are some people who, of course, don't love our church for, you know, maybe it's not a good fit for them, or maybe they've heard me preach. But there are also, of course, people who don't love the church, big C, right, who don't love the Church of Jesus Christ, and who are kind of hate all that it represents, and I get that as well. There are things in the church that are not good. I mean, the church is hypocritical, the church is judgmental, the church is political, the church is responsible for all kinds of things, bad things throughout history, and so there are all kinds of complaints that people have about the church today, and many of those are completely valid. The fact is people have been hurt by the church, many of them, including our own, and that's because there is no perfect church, right? The church is made up of imperfect people, totally depraved people. And this is a church, this is a community of sinful, broken people who are trying to follow Jesus together. And there's a lot of things that are wrong with it, and that's because the church isn't a building, the church is the people, and God's people are messed up, myself included. The church is, though, a hospital for broken people, including people who have been broken by the church itself. But Jesus calls us to live in community anyway, and to love each other through it, to live out the gospel with one another, understanding that our sinfulness is going to be felt by one another, understanding that we're going to hurt each other, but he calls us to love each other anyway and to stay in community anyway. Jesus said in John 13, he said, love each other just as I have loved you, so you must love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. To a world that often understandably hates the church, we show ourselves to be the church by loving each other the way Christ has loved us, by forgiving each other, by caring for one another, supporting one another, by doing all the one anothering that the Bible calls us to. Because when we do those things, two things happen. Number one, we grow in our love for Jesus together. Like, we're always spurring each other on and encouraging each other in our walk with Jesus. And number two, we grow in our likeness of Jesus together, in that we're living out the gospel with one another. We're loving each other as Christ has loved us. We're forgiving each other as he's forgiven us. We're bearing each other's burdens as he's borne ours, and so on. See, friends, you cannot love Jesus without loving his bride, the church. You can't love Jesus without loving his bride. He loves her. He gave his life for her. And we always have to remember that we are her, right? It's really easy to kind of put it on maybe other people, but we are the church. Anybody who loves Jesus is the church. And even though sometimes we are the church, our love for the church sometimes wanes. Sometimes our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ diminishes. And our tendency when that happens is it's really easy to kind of pull away from them, to pull away from church altogether, to pull away, worship only online, to worship maybe just very sporadically, or to just come in and leave without really talking to anyone. So much so that we begin to doubt whether we really even need the church, or the church needs us. And so my question to you this morning is this. How do you counteract that? How do you restore your passion for God's people? How do you stoke the love that we are to have for one another, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we stay in community with one another? Remember, we always say here at Centerpoint, life change happens in the context of community. Life change happens in community, not through classes, but in community. As it's life to life, it's friend to friend, relationship to relationship. It's as we learn together and love one another as Christ loved us. for the answer to that question about how we restore our passion for God's people, we're going to study today what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12. And I would invite you right now to open up your Bibles or open up your phones and turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to study verses 9 to 18 in that passage today, and we're going to walk right through it. And so I really want you to open up your Bibles and just follow along as we go through this. Right now we're in a series, a five-part series here at Centerpoint called Restoring Your Passion. Last week we talked about restoring your passion for God. Today we're talking, kind of taking it a step further, and we're talking about restoring your passion for God's people. And in Romans 12, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this, "Be devoted to one another in love." Be devoted to one another in love. Literally in Greek, it's keep on loving each other with philadelphia, with brotherly love, okay? That is, don't let your love stop, don't let your love wane, don't let it diminish. Keep on loving, make the decision to keep on, to be committed to loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because love is a decision. Okay? Love is a choice we make. It's an act of the will. It's a verb. Okay? It's not a noun so much as it is a verb. It's something to be done. Love isn't love until it's shown. And so, if we love Jesus, if we are a Jesus follower, we are to be devoted to, committed to loving our fellow Jesus followers. If we're going to love up, we also have to love out. In fact, one of the ways in which we love up, one of the ways we show our love for Jesus is by loving each other. How? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about 10 ways to restore your love for God's people. 10 ways to be devoted to one another in love. This is going to date me, but when I was a teenager, Paul Simon came out with a song called 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Maybe you remember that song. Today we're going to talk about 10 ways to retrieve your love for your brother and sister in Christ. Okay? And you know I love alliteration, but this didn't, I didn't actually plan this. All 10 have an H word, okay? So that's kind of how it worked out with the text. So, but that's kind of cool too. So 10 ways to restore your passion for God's people. And we're going to just fly through them today. The first one is what? Be honest in your love. Be honest in your love. Don't fake it, okay? Verse 9 says it this way, love must be sincere. I love the way the NLT puts it. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Don't just pretend, really love. That means don't just be friendly, be a friend. Don't just be attending, to one another's needs. Show genuine love, not just mere words, but genuine love for one another, where you decide, you choose to love others despite their flaws, despite their failures. And you don't just kind of tolerate us. You don't just kind of grin through your teeth and put up with us. Like, you really love us. This week I was just telling my wife, ironically, I actually even told my coach this week when I met with him. And I said, I just really love my flock. Like, I just love my people so much. I love my small group. I love our staff. I love our leadership team. And yeah, we have some extra grace required people, but I love them too. Okay? And I don't love much being a CEO anymore, but I still love being a shepherd. I love my flock. And I guess I would ask you today, do you really, truly love your brothers and sisters here? Because you can. You can have that attitude. You can have that in your heart. But you've got to choose to feel that way. You got to choose to look at every person, to look on every person here with love. And yes, they're broken, and yes, they have issues. And if all you see are their issues, then you're not going to, you're going to be on your guard. You're going to be wary. You're going to be suspicious. And you're not going to love. But if you decide to love one another truly from your heart, despite all the issues, where you decide to hug them anyway, you decide to see the best in them anyway, you decide to love anyway, your love will be sincere. You won't just pretend to love others, you really love them. Number two, there's hate what is evil and hold to what is good. Okay? Hate what is evil, hold what is good. Verse 9 again. Paul says, the next part of the verse says, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. The reality is we love and accept everyone here. But we don't love and accept everything that people do. Because people do sometimes some very evil things. People do wrong things, right? And so it's the old kind of, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner kind of idea. Because all of us have some good to hold on to, some good to affirm, some good to encourage. At the same time, we've all got some stuff in our lives that need to be confronted and to be called out. And that's why we need each other. Like, we need family members who will challenge us when we're not living Christ-like and who will cheer us on when we are. One of the things I love about Jesus is that he loves and accepts everyone right where they are. But he's not content to leave us there. I love that about him. Like, he loves everyone as is. But he's not content to leave us as is. He loves us too much to leave us as is. Like, he loves us so much, he wants to help us become different, change us, to be transformed more and more in his image. And so he calls us to, he calls out sin and he calls us to leave it behind and to all the while holding on to us tightly and holding on and encouraging the good in us. And he wants us to live that out with one another. That's how we are to interact with one another, where we love and we accept everyone here right where they are. And at the same time, we, in love, we don't leave them there. In love, we are iron sharpening iron. In love, we're challenging each other when there's some stuff in our lives that isn't good, and we're encouraging each other about the stuff in our lives that is. We do that through loving accountability and affirmation to the applications of Scripture. That's what we call, in our discipleship model here at Centerpoint, that's what we call AAA, okay? AAA is accountability and affirmation to the applications of Scripture, okay? Accountability, affirmation. That's how we hate what is evil, through accountability. Hold on to what is good through affirmation. That makes sense? All right. Let's keep going on. Number three, okay? Honor one another. Honor one another. The next verse, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. The NLT says, take delight in honoring each other. That is, Paul says, love puts self second. Love means putting the needs of others above your own. That's what honoring is. Last Saturday I was flipping through the channels and I got drawn into what is one of my favorite movies of all time. You ever do that? You just get, and you start clicking on it. One of my favorite movies of all time is A Few Good Men, where Colonel Jessup says, we use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life defending someone. You use them as a punchline. And I, in many ways, he's right. Like, we don't use words like honor anymore. So much so that we don't even really know what it means. But to honor someone else means that you put their needs ahead of your own. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2. He said, do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, value or honor others above yourselves. Don't look after your own interests. Look also to the interests of others. Love is, or honoring love, is a others-focused mindset. And when you honor others, it doesn't have you resenting them. On the contrary, you actually love them more because your love is focused on them, not you. You're less self-centered, more others-centered, and so your love grows. Number four, hard work. Let's keep going on we're just walking through this passage. Look with this, it's next verse 11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. One of the ways in which you restore your passion for God's people is to work alongside God's people. It's to serve the Lord enthusiastically with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, if you want to grow your love for your church, serve in the church. Serve Jesus with your brothers and sisters. Get on a ministry team here at our church. Get involved in a ministry team where you're all using your unique gifts in a way that is serving the greater purpose for the common goal, in this case, to see lives transformed from the center point out. But serve one another, serve Jesus together. It grows your love for each other. When I was in high school, I went on a 5-week summer mission trip with 3 other high schooler students from around the state of Wisconsin. None of us had met each other prior to this mission trip. And we got thrown together on this mission trip, the 4 of us, from all different parts of Wisconsin. And do you know how close we got that summer? Like, just serving the Lord together, working hard for the kingdom of God together for 5 weeks, made us the best of friends. 39 years later, I am still in contact with Dave Capari from that mission trip. When you serve together, okay, mutual service brings us together. When we served alongside each other, it unites us. It binds us. Some of the greatest friendships within the Church of Jesus Christ are forged as we are serving together in our children's ministry, as we are playing in the band together or singing together, as we are serving our community in our outreaches together, as we're painting walls together, as we're cleaning bathrooms together, as we're doing the work of the kingdom side by side, we become a team. Our love grows. All right, let's keep going on. Number 5. Hopeful prayer. Hopeful prayer. Let's keep going. Verse 12. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Paul is saying, one of the ways in which you restore your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ is by lifting each other up in prayer. Pray for each other. Don't stop praying for each other. When you do that, you point each other to our hope. You point each other and you encourage each other to be patient in affliction. And you show each other that you really love each other by loving each other enough to pray for one another. Our small group, of course, does this. Every time we gather as a small group, we gather weekly after worship. Every time we do that, we take prayer requests. And we hear what's on each other's hearts. And we pray for one another. We intercede on behalf of one another. And when we do that, it's not just good for us spiritually. It's not just good for us even emotionally. It's good for us relationally. What we're doing when we're doing this, we're reminding each other that God is bigger than our problems, that we can trust our problems with him, and at the same time reminding each other that we're not alone in our problems. We're in it together. We pray because we care. We care because we pray. And I would just say, if you want to boost your love for the people of God, get in community. Get in a small group and intercede for each other week in and week out. Your love for each other will deepen quickly. All right, friends, let's keep going. Number 6, help somebody out. This being pretty simple. Share with God's people in need. You see someone struggling financially? Help them out. You see someone who's sick? Bring over a meal. You see someone who's tired? Take care of their kids for a night. Like, look out, reach out, help out someone who's in need. And I got to tell you, I love it when I see this happening organically within the body. Like, it's just really cool. Like, when I see someone is out of work and suddenly gift cards start showing up. They're in the hospital and a meal train gets set up. Their health is declining and visits start happening. Our Hilliard campus recently, scared to get out of their house, and people start saying, I'll show up with groceries. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful. And when you see it, it's just people helping each other out. But when you see it, it just like touches you. And you know it's what's supposed to happen in the body of Christ. But at the same time, you know it's not always what happens. And so when you see it happen, it warms your heart. It rekindles your love, your passion for God's people. And so I would just say, look around. Look around and see who could use some help right now. What can I do to help somebody out in a small, tangible way? It doesn't have to be complicated. Just do something. Number seven is be hospitable. There's another word we don't use much anymore. Verse 13. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Hospitality, of course, is when we invite people in and we make them feel loved and accepted, right? And we certainly want to do that on Sunday morning, right? We certainly want to have this a place where we are inviting people into worship. I hope that you're doing that. I hope you're inviting your friends, your family members to join you in worship, okay? But more than that, I hope that as we invite people in, that we are, as a body of Christ, really just making everyone feel welcomed, feel loved, get connected and enfolded. Like, that's why our hospitality ministry is so important. But to be really hospitable, I would say you need to go beyond Sunday morning. To really be hospitable, you got to invite someone over for dinner. Invite someone out for coffee. Invite someone over to play cards or play a board game or to watch the Super Bowl or to go for a walk or to see a movie or whatever. But you got to take the next relational step where you invite someone into your life and hang out with them. Because that's when people feel like they're making real friends. That's when they feel like they're belonging. That's when they stick. Like, people come for worship, they stay for friendship. And friendship happens when hospitality happens. When you invite them over, when you invite them out, and you warmly enfold them into your life. That's a win all around. That's a win for the newcomer, certainly. It's a win for you. You grow your friendships. You deepen your love for the church. The church, of course, wins in the process as well. So be hospitable. Number eight, be happy or hurting with those who are happy or hurting. What does Paul say? Verse 15, be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Join your church family in what they're going through. Allow yourself to feel it with them. Share their experiences firsthand. Like, if they're celebrating something good, a new baby, a new grandbaby, whatever, celebrate with them. If they're going through some painful stuff, if they're mourning a loss, weep with them. But enter into their joy. Enter into their pain. Enter into their exhaustion. Enter into their lives in such a way that you feel it with them. It's what makes them feel not alone in it. And that's what families do. Some of you know I am an avid watcher of the first 19 minutes of the Today Show. And this week my heart has just been broken as I see Savannah Guthrie have her mom abducted from her home. And I see this family who's just, their hearts are breaking with each other. But more than that, if you watch, you see the hearts of her work family, her Today Show family, her NBC News family breaking with her. You see the hearts of her of Nancy Guthrie's church on a nonstop vigil for their friend. They're in solidarity for their friend. That's what we all need. Not only when we're going through a really tough time, a painful time, but also when we're going through joy. We need family members who celebrate with us and who mourn with us, are happy and hurting alongside us. And so I would just say, be that friend here. Like, for somebody, be that person. Okay? Number 9, be harmonious. We'll look at four verses here. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Verse 16, live in harmony with each other. Verse 17, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Here Paul's just basically saying, be a peacemaker, not an agitator. Cultivate harmony within the body. There's always going to be people who are going to rub you the wrong way. More than that, there are going to be people who will hurt you, who will anger you. And when that happens, do your best to diffuse the hostility of that situation, doing what Jesus teaches us to do. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't repay evil with evil. Repay it with good. Do the exact opposite of what you want to do. Love. And friends, I know this feels completely impossible. When you've been hurt, this is like crazy hard to do. But harmony is usually, and I say usually, not always, usually more important than being right. And so I would just say, take the high road. Be the honorable person in the room who seeks peace rather than revenge, who turns away wrath with a gentle answer. You can't make people do what's right. You can't make people reconcile with you. But you can do what you can do. You can, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And when you do that, resentment and bitterness don't get lodged in you. And you stay positive and you stay passionate about God's people despite the wrong things that people do. All right, that leads me to one more. And that's be humble. Humility. Be humble. Look how he finishes the section. Verse 16. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. If you think you are better than the other broken, messed up, sinful people here, you're never going to experience real love here. You're never going to experience real community here. Like, if you can't handle unhealthy people, if you can't handle being around people with issues. And if you've got a pulse, you have issues, okay? But if you can't handle being around people that, you know, just don't have their lives together, then you're never going to restore your love for your fellow brothers and sisters because you're going to be too conceited to really love them as is. Humility is the foundation of unity. This is a place where everybody has a place, no matter how messed up they are. And there's something really beautiful about that. If you can't deal with that, okay, well, I would just say if other people here are going to make you feel uncomfortable, deal with it. Because humble yourself and love people the way Jesus would. Don't look down your nose at them. They're sinful, broken people. They're saved by grace just like you. You may be farther ahead in your walk with Jesus, but that just means that they need you all the more. Be a friend, a real friend. It'll grow your love for God's people. All right, friends, we've talked about 10 ways to restore your passion for God's people, 10 ways to be devoted to one another in love. Let's quickly review them so that we remember at least some of them when you leave. First one, be honest. Be real about your love. Okay, don't fake it. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Number two, hate what is evil. Love what is good. Okay? That is accountability and affirmation together. Number three, honor one another. Put others' needs ahead of your own. Number four, be hardworking. Serve one another with one another in the body of Christ. Number five, be hopeful in prayer. Pray with one another. Lift each other up in prayer. Number six, help somebody out. Number seven, be hospitable. Invite someone in and warmly enfold them into your life. Number eight, be happy or hurting with those who are happy or hurting. Allow yourself to enter their pain or joy or whatever so you feel it with them. Number nine, be harmonious. Live at peace with one another. And number 10, be humble. Don't let your pride get in the way of loving people as is. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick out three. Let me put that back up on the list, that list back up. I want you to pick out three that you are going to be more conscious about doing, and one that you are going to do this week. Okay? Three that you are going to be more intentional about on a regular basis, and one that you are going to practically live out in the next 24 to 48 hours. Pick out three in your head, okay? Which one now are you going to practically live out? Which, you got three in your head. Maybe you should circle in your bullet. Maybe you should type. Maybe you should text yourself the one that you're going to do something about in the next 24 to 48 hours. I realize you're not going to be able to do all these 10. I can't do all 10, okay, this week probably. But here's the deal. You can do one. You can change the way you love in one way this week. So, what is the Spirit putting on your heart this morning? I don't want to get out of your way because I want you to think about that. Which of these is the Spirit putting on your heart to love differently, to love in a greater way? Whatever it is, don't ignore what the Spirit's saying to you right now. Don't put it off. Do it. Do it in a tangible way. Remember, love is a decision. Make a choice. Do it. Make a decision to act on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ. Will you do that? All right, let's pray together. Father, you've called us here today to love one another as you have loved us. And we realize that's it's a different kind of love. It's a much bigger, more difficult love. And I pray today, though, that you would help us to do so. Each person here this morning, you by your Spirit is kind of impressing on their hearts what you are calling them to do, how they are called to love in a different way. I pray, Lord, that we would all live these 10 out But I pray more than that, that you would just really give us each an obedience to your Spirit now, where we don't just hear what you're saying to us now, but we live it out practically with one another. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, friends, I just encourage you to, what God has been putting on your heart this morning, which of those 10, whatever that is, don't let it drop here today, okay? Hear the word and do the word.